You're listening to the Message Podcast of High Ridge Church Longview, where our vision is to help you know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and ultimately make a difference. We are so glad that you're here, and we pray that this message impacts your life as you apply the spiritual truths from God's Word in practical ways. Let's listen in.
Happy Easter, everybody. Come on, Happy Easter. This is a big deal. Happy Easter. He is risen. Come on, act like you know it. Come on, your response is, he is risen indeed. He is risen. That's Christianity 101. That's what I'm talking about. Type it in the chat if you don't mind. Let's welcome in all of our friends from all around the world watching us online with a big round of applause. Come on. Happy Easter to you as well. Don't forget to click that like and click the share button. It always means a lot to us whenever you do that. We've got people watching from Arkansas, people watching from Fort Worth, Mineral Wells, from right here in Longview. You should just come. What are you doing? Just get over here. We've got two more services after this. We'll make room for you. Come in your pajamas. We don't care. So we're so glad that you could make, hey, people watching from France, people watching from England. Hey, g'day, mate. We're so glad that you could make it. And a happy Easter to you too as well. Hey, we just want to make sure that you know how much we are so grateful for you making this your church home today. You could have worshiped anywhere, but we're gathering together with millions of believers all around the world to celebrate the greatest day in the history of the world. It's Easter. Come on, somebody. I'm excited. I got up at 3:30 this morning. I couldn't sleep anymore. That's enough. I'm ready to go. And we've got a lot of ground to cover, so this message is about to talk real fast. I'm just telling you, you better get your listening ears on because we've got a lot of ground to cover. I'm just telling you. We were trying to make this Easter as memorable as possible. We wanted to create a service where you would never forget it, something that would make a big difference to you and to your family and to kind of just meet you where you are right now. So we went through a bunch of ideas that didn't quite make the cut. We also wanted to kind of reach out to the next generation. I wanted to be cool and relevant and try to make sure that our younger ones understood the story of Jesus and what he did for us. So this is one of the sermon series that we came up with that didn't quite make the cut. He is risen. No. If you have to ask what riz is, you don't have it. So we thought that might be too offensive for people. We're not trying to offend people. So if we went the other way and went completely non-offensive, we would have given you this Easter sermon. It's Easter, okay? The non-offensive, non-confrontational Easter. Those did not make the cut. So I'm just telling you, we went through a bunch of ideas. So our creative team got together. We're trying to make sure that we give you the best Easter service possible. And I just went through a whole list of ideas and I thought about something. You know, in my 25 years of ministry and over 40 years now of being involved in churches and seeing churches done, I've been to a lot of Easter services, a lot. And so as I think about all the different Easter sermons that I've heard, how many of those do you think I remember? None. None. And if this is supposed to be like the Super Bowl of all Sundays for churches, if this is kind of like the big deal that we projected out to be as the church, then why don't I remember anything? Is it just because I have ADHD or OCD or maybe some other abbreviations that I don't even know about yet? What's the problem? But being involved in church and ministry my whole life, if we're putting all of our creativity and all of our finances behind this one day, then how is it that not even I remember that? You know, so we wanted to try to create an Easter that you would remember, and we failed in a lot of ways. So let me just take you for a quick look behind the scenes about 3 weeks ago and show you what happened when we decided to get really creative and it just didn't quite go the way that I thought it was going to go. Check this out. All right, guys, Easter Sunday is just a few more weeks away, so I need your best ideas. I mean, pitch me with what you think will help make Easter something that people will never forget. What are people into? What do people need? What kind of things can we show people that lets them know, like the story of Jesus? Let's make this something memorable, but I want to make sure that it captures the heart of what's going on for Easter. So pitch, what's your best idea? What do you got?
Hear me out. So I don't know if this is what people want to hear, but I think they need to hear about the fear of the Lord and holiness. Holy. And that sin is real and that everybody struggles with
fear
it and
Lord.
That hell is real hell and they're going to go there if they don't accept the Lord. I think that's important for like the whole Easter message. And, you know, let's give them the truth.
The truth. Okay. So old school, hell is hot. I mean, go back to the... Okay. I can do that.
Well, happy Easter Sunday to you. This is High Ridge Holiness Tabernacle Sanctification. We would like to say welcome to all of you, our first-time guests. Today's message is entitled, Turn
Burr.
I'm telling you, hell is so hot. You don't want to go. That's why we don't have air conditioning in here. Scripture is clear. TikTok is a sign of the end times. Your kids are a sign of the end times. Scripture is clear. Leap year is a sign of the end times. Kids, you better be paying attention right now. Hey, up here. I'm preaching the word of God now. Hey, look at me. I will come back. I don't care who your mama is. Mama, you settle down now. I'm pastoring them right now.
I don't think I can do that. I don't know if I really want to go that way. It doesn't feel like it's me. But, I mean, have you got something better? What is your generation doing? What can I do to talk to the young ones?
I think more for, like, my generation, it might be good to go the opposite way.
Okay.
So, instead of that, maybe what we want is just a calm and peaceful place.
Peaceful.
Yeah.
Peaceful.
So, with the message, I would just try my best to make everyone feel loved and accept it. So let's kind of leave out some of the stuff that might rub people the wrong way and just make it super chill. And
good vibes. Okay. Good vibes, super chill. We could do that.
Welcome to Hippie High Ridge. We want everyone to know that we have a gift for you today. Underneath your beanbag is a lava lamp. Today, as we take communion together, we want you to know we will not be using normal bread or normal wine. No, today we will be taking shrooms. So a lot of people would say that you need to repent of your sins, but that's just like your opinion, man. Immediately following the message today, we will have 30 minutes of group hugging, followed by 30 minutes of group crying, just as a way to release the tension, man.
I don't know, man. I think we can get carried away with that stuff real quick. I don't know, man. Logan, if you got, what do you got, man?
All right, this is what I'm thinking. So we're gonna have, a rough year coming up. It's election season. People are gonna be looking for some direction. And so I think that if we just go back to our American Christian values and we go back to what we were founded on as a country, I think
founding
that's...
Founding fathers, okay. Traditional American values, that could work.
Yeah, what's not to love about that? I mean, people want to get back to our roots, you know?
Right, let's get back to the roots of what we're founded on. America.
47 Easters ago, God wants you to come to church. God wants you to get baptized. God wants you... If not for Jesus and the AK-47, the devil might have won.
I don't know if I can do that. I'm barely American myself. I don't know. I want something that people can remember. Like, let's think outside the box here. What do you got? Give me something that people will get into.
Yeah, man. I mean, I've been in church. I grew up in church. And, like, I've heard so many Easter sermons. And I agree. I think that we sometimes forget how gruesome the cross really was.
Right.
Like, I mean... There were literally nails driven through his hands, driven through his feet, a spear in his side. There was blood. I mean...
We can get nails. We can get blood.
If you want it to be memorable, I think that we need to go as extreme as we possibly can.
Okay, extreme.
In the minds of the listeners.
That's what I'm talking about. Like, let's... Now we're thinking outside the box here. Let's go extreme. Let's go memorable. Let's think out there.
Welcome to High Ridge Extreme! We are gonna have a live crucifixion. Our lawyers will not allow us to have a live crucifixion. This belt symbolizes all that I stand for. I've had so much pre-workout today that I might cuss. You wanna see a crucifixion this year? I'm gonna crucify myself!
Maybe we could just get a guest speaker.
Yeah, that may be the best idea.
Speaker! Let me say a big thank you to our creative team for coming up with ideas that we will not be using today. We're getting extreme. No, as we were talking and trying to figure out what we're going to do this Easter to make it memorable, we went through a lot of bad ideas, and I think churches do that. We do things that try to help you to remember. But as we were processing through what this might look like to put this service on today and what could be the most beneficial to you, I just asked my daughter, I said, would you come to my office and would you just open up the Bible and just read me the story of Easter? Read me from Matthew and Mark and Luke and John and Acts. Read me the story of Easter and just keep reading the scriptures. And she just began to open up the scriptures, open up God's word, and begin to read the story of what happened to Jesus. Begin to read the story of his trial and his crucifixion and the mockery and betrayal. Begin to read me the story of the Last Supper and begin to read me the story of the spear in his side, the nails in his hands. And as I began to just read the word of God for itself, I became overwhelmed. I'm not even kidding. I started crying. And I realized some powerful truths. Here's the first of one of those powerful truths, and that's this: God's word is enough. God's word doesn't need my hype. It doesn't need my spin. God's word doesn't need me. His word is enough. God's word stands alone. And it's the most important thing that we could leave you with today is to simply hear the story of Easter straight from God's word. So I got a group of my friends together and I said, just read the Easter scriptures, because this Easter, rather than coming and trying to do something extreme or something that's going to tell people how hot hell is, instead of trying to do something that people always remember, just give them the word of God. God's word stands alone. God's word is enough. So we put this together just for you.
He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief.
We turned our backs on him and looked the other way.
He was despised, and we did not care.
Yet it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down.
And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sin.
But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins.
He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed.
Pilate responded, "Then what should I do with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?"
They shouted back, "Crucify him." "Why?" Pilate demanded. "What crime has he committed?" But the mob roared even louder, "Crucify him."
So Pilate released Barabbas to them. He ordered Jesus flogged with a lead-tipped whip, then turned him over to the Roman soldiers to be crucified.
They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. They wove thorn branches into a crown and put it on his head. And they placed a reed stick in his right hand as a scepter.
Standing knelt down before him in mockery and taunted, "Hail, King of the Jews."
And they spit on him and grabbed the stick and struck him on the head with it. When they were finally tired of mocking him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him again. Then they led him away to be crucified.
After they had nailed him to the cross, the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing dice. Then they sat around and kept guard as he hung there.
A sign was fastened above Jesus' head, announcing the charge against him.
It read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Two revolutionaries were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left.
At noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. At about 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice, my God, why have you abandoned me?"
Then Jesus shouted out again, and he released his spirit. At that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom.
The earth shook, rocks split apart, and tombs opened. The bodies of many godly men and women who had died were raised from the dead.
Then Joseph of Arimathea took the body down from the cross and wrapped it in a long sheet of linen cloth and laid it in a new tomb that had been carved out of rock.
This was done late on Friday afternoon, the day of preparation, as the Sabbath was about to begin.
Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb.
Suddenly there was a great earthquake.
For an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it.
His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint.
Mary turned to leave and saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him.
"Dear woman, why are you crying?" Jesus asked her. "Who are you looking for?" She thought he was the gardener.
"Sir," she said, "if you've taken him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him."
"Mary," Jesus said.
She turned to him and cried out, "Rabboni," which is Hebrew for teacher.
"Don't cling to me," Jesus said, "for I haven't yet ascended to the Father. But go find my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God."
That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders.
Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them.
"Peace be with you," he said.
As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side.
They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord.
Again he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit."
Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some of them doubted.
Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth.
Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations,
baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age."
After saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him.
As they strained to see him rising to heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them.
"Men of Galilee," they said, "why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go."
You see what I mean? God's word stands alone. God's word doesn't need hype. It doesn't need spin. It doesn't need my budget. It doesn't need our creativity. God's word stands alone. God's word is saying some things to us that are just more than a story, but they speak to us right where we are. There are things hidden within that Easter story, look at me, that you can't afford to ignore. Powerful truths. You see, this is what I found to be true in my almost 48 years on this planet, that I've never met a person that didn't know the story of Easter, but I've met very few that knew why. And I've met even fewer still that understood what it means to me today. You see, while most people may have heard the story of Easter, whether they believe it or not, they've heard it. But being able to take the leap from what that event 2,000 years ago means to me today, that's a big leap for anyone. But there are some things that God's word is screaming at us today. There are things that when I read the story of Easter, there's some parts of those scriptures that just jump off the page at me. It speaks to me personally. And the first of three things I want to share with you, I want to give you three things. Number one, it tells me I have a purpose. I have a purpose. That's a big deal for somebody like me. You know, from the beginning of time, there's never been a person that's ever existed that had rational mind and thought that didn't have the same question that I have and that you have. What on earth am I here for? What am I supposed to be doing? Why am I here? What do you want from me? What's God's will for my life? Does God exist? Does he have a place for me? And when Jesus tells his disciples in Mark 18, right before he leaves this planet, he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. There in that simple statement lies the answer to our question for meaning and purpose. What do you want me to do? He says, I want you to go and I want you to preach the gospel. Now, when we talk about the word preach, there may be some feelings in this place where we're saying, yeah, you know, that's what we're supposed to be doing. People are supposed to be preaching. And out of all the people in this room, there's only one person preaching. You're not even doing a very good job of that. Let me tell you, I'm doing the best I can. But the word preach doesn't mean you're supposed to stand up on a platform and grab a microphone and wear a nice suit and gather people. No. The word preach means to publicly proclaim. Say it with me. Publicly proclaim. To publicly proclaim the gospel. The gospel translates to good news. That means what Jesus did for you when they put him in that tomb and him getting up on the third day, that is the good news. What does that mean to people? That means that death is not the end. Jesus said, it doesn't have a hold on me. That's good news. And when he says, you are supposed to go into all the world and preach the gospel, it tells me I've got a purpose. There's a reason for me to get up tomorrow, and that's to bring Jesus into my conversations, to bring Jesus into my home, to bring him into the relationships with my children, with my grandchildren, with my coworkers. I'm supposed to be the hands and feet of Jesus. To publicly proclaim means there's no such thing as a secret agent Christian. I'm supposed to live out loud. Wherever I go, there's an opportunity to bring Jesus with me. I want you to know that. A few years ago, I was in South Dallas, and we had received two big semi-trucks full of food and groceries for the less fortunate. So me and some buddies got together, and we devised a plan to park them down in the middle of, right outside of Fair Park. And if you know Dallas, you know that that's a very low-income area of town. And it didn't take long before the word got out through the neighborhoods that we were giving away some free groceries. And so people just came from miles around to receive some free food. And there's many people in a downturn of the economy that were very hungry, that needed some help. And so we're able to make a list of what they needed and give them what we had that day. And then we're asking them, hey, is there anything I can pray for you about? Do you have any spiritual needs that we can take before the Lord today? And of course, you know, as you would think, you know, some people just wanted the groceries, but other people wanted to be prayed for. And so my assignment was to not just give out groceries, but to pray for people that might need some prayer. And so I sit down across from one lady, and I began to make out a list of what she was asking for groceries. And then I asked her, I said, do you have a relationship with Jesus? And she said something to me that I will never forget. It's become like a canon event in my life. For the first time in my life, I heard her response. When I said, would you like to have a relationship with Jesus? Do you have a relationship with Jesus? She said this. She said, who? I am not kidding. In Dallas, Texas, she said, who are you talking about? I said, Jesus, Savior of the world, Son of God. She's like, what is that? Jesus, do you have a relationship with Jesus? She said, is he here? I'm like, technically, yes, but maybe not in the way that you're thinking. She said, Son of God. I said, yes. She said, explain to me what you're talking about. So I began to explain to someone who had never heard the story of Jesus for the first time, a full-grown woman in Texas in the Bible Belt that had never heard the name Jesus. Don't just assume that people know the story. She might have heard the story of Easter. She might have heard about some religion. She knows what a church is, but the story of Jesus had never been explained to her in the terms of what that meant to her. I said, he died on a cross. She said, why? I said, so he could take upon himself the sins of the world so that people like me and you could have forgiveness. She goes, that sounds good. I'm like, maybe I'm telling it wrong because this is easy. And I said, would you like to have a relationship with Jesus? Would you like for him to forgive you of your sins? Would you like to be able to go to heaven at the end of your life? And if so, you pray this prayer. Does that sound like something that you'd want to do? And she says, who wouldn't want that? And I'm like, I know. And I got to lead this woman to Christ who had never heard the story of Jesus ever. And it was a powerful and profound moment in my life when I realized this, that your life might be the only Bible that some people will ever read. Your words might be the only scripture that some people will ever read. And so it's important that we take the part of the Easter message that speaks to our life very seriously. You have a purpose to live out loud and to share the good news of what Jesus did and what it means to people that may not know. Here's the second part of that Easter story and what it means to me. It tells me that not only do I have a purpose, I have a place. There's a place for me. And by the way, that means a lot to somebody like me who for most of their life never fit in. You see, when you're raised by parents that came out of like the hippie culture, you're not gonna adjust very well to society. Let me just tell you. And so we grew up poor, and that creates its own list of problems of how you just don't quite fit in with people. And when your parents make your own clothes, you're not gonna fit in very well. It's like, I don't wanna wear that. Mom, you wear that. Like, you like that stuff. I don't wanna wear that. And when you grow up poor and you've had that part of your life just kind of separate you from society, it's a big deal when Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you in John 14. I go to prepare a place for those of you who have never fit in. And when I say grow up poor, I mean like, you know, I told somebody one time when we went to the park, the ducks threw us bread. Like that's how poor it was. But when I finally went to high school in 1994, those 4 years of my life, between 91 and 94, I finally went to a public school, a 5A high school right there in Fort Worth, Texas, and I realized very quickly, you don't belong here. You don't fit in with these people. You see, I was raised without radio, raised without television, raised without pop culture, raised completely separate from society. It was a different world for me, and I learned very quickly, you don't fit in here. And I wasn't brown enough for my Mexican brothers and sisters, and I wasn't white enough for the white kids, and here's me in the middle, the other. So when Jesus says, I have a place for you, that means something to me. For those of us who have spent our life never quite fitting in, it matters when he says that. I have a purpose for my life, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. I have a place waiting for me. When Jesus says that, it helps me realize this very simple truth, that this world is not my home, but I've got one waiting for me. And here's the third and final thing I want to finish up with this. Number three, not only do I have a purpose, not only has God prepared a place for me, but number three, he says, you have my presence. My presence will go with you. You know, Jesus tells his disciples right before he ascends into heaven in Matthew 28, he says, lo, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Have you thought about that word? Always. You see, for some of us, when Jesus says, I'm with you always, you're like, that's awesome. He's always with me, until you think about the times in your life where maybe you didn't want him to see what you were doing. You're like, Jesus, do you mean the parts of my life where I did that? Yeah, he was still with me. The parts of my life where I walked through that part? Yeah, I'm still with you. I am with you always. You see, for those who have trusted Christ to be the Lord and Savior of their life, for those that have a relationship with Jesus, he promises us that he will never leave us and he will never forsake us. That means he will never turn his back on you, even if you turn your back on him. And by the way, that's the story of my life. From my middle teens to my early 20s, I walked into the darkest moments of my life where I did everything I could to turn my back on God, to get as far away from religion and as far away from Jesus, as far away from my purpose and calling as I possibly could. It led me into a dark place of addiction. It led me into a foolish marriage by the age of 18. It led me into betrayal and a season of being more alone. And even in those moments of my life where I turned my back on God and wanted nothing to do with him, he was still with me. He never turned his back on me. So when Jesus says, I am with you always to the very end of the age, that means something to me. Because I recognize the times in my life where I was betrayed and he was still with me. When I was hurt and he was still with me. When I hurt him, and he was still with me. When I cussed God and screamed at him, I don't want anything to do with you, he was still with me. He still loved me in spite of me. Jesus says, I am with you always. You know, today, you may have a similar story to mine. Maybe you were raised in church. Maybe you were raised with a relationship with Jesus. But through the course of time and through some decisions, maybe you drifted away from the Lord like I did. But I want you to know today that somebody loved me enough to tell me the truth and to invite me to church. Somebody loved me enough to tell me how to get back into a relationship with Jesus, and it changed my life. See, no longer was it my parents' Jesus. No longer was it some church's Jesus. It became my Jesus, my relationship with him. And those words meant for years of my life had just been a story that I knew about, but it never hit home. Those words came alive for the very first time. And when he says, I'll never leave you, I know that he meant it. So would you bow your head and close your eyes with me today as we finish up this service? I want to ask you a question. Perhaps you're here today and you're saying, Pastor, if I'm going to be honest with you, I don't have a relationship with Jesus. I need that. I want this Jesus that forgives sins. I want this Jesus that shed his blood so that I could have a place. I want the purpose that can only be found in Christ. My friend, if that's you, you're in the right place. Or maybe for others in this place today, you've turned away from God, you've been walking far from him, and you need to come home. My friend, today, I want to invite you to pray a prayer with me. If you want a relationship with Jesus, if you need to come back to a relationship with Jesus, pray this prayer with me right now. Just say this. Just say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. Pray that with me. Come on. Now pray this. I believe that you came and died and rose from the grave so that I could have life and forgiveness for my sins. I ask you to forgive me. Take over my life. I give myself to you right now. If you prayed that prayer with me, my friend, if you did that, would you just do me a favor all across this place? Would you just lift up your hand nice and high and proud and say, I did. I prayed that prayer. You asked me to pray it, and I did. Good. I see you. Yes, ma'am. I see you. I did. Yes, ma'am. I see you in the back. Yes, ma'am. I see you. Yes, ma'am. Anyone else today? I did. I prayed that prayer. That was me. Good. For those of you that just raised your hand, I want you to know that behind me on the screen is a phone number appearing. I want to ask you to do something. I want to ask you to text me. Text the words, I prayed, to this number that's appearing on the screen, 844-HRC-TEXT. If you do that, I'm going to send you back something that will help you understand what just happened in your heart and what to do next. It's the greatest joy of my life to help you get started in your relationship with Jesus. And I'm proud of you. Good for you. High Ridge family, go ahead and look up at me if you would, and go ahead and stand to your feet. I want to say thank you very much for spending your Easter with us. I'm going to have our elders go ahead and step forward with their wives, and they're going to be available as this service ends to be right here to pray for you if you have any prayer concerns. We have another 7 people responding to the gospel today. That's a pretty big deal. Is that 22 already? 22 people? I'm proud of you. Thank you for inviting your friends. It's been a good day. It's been a good day. So do me a favor. We've got another service or two coming up after you. So if you wouldn't mind, pray over the chair that you're sitting in. Pray that the person that's coming in after you would just get filled with the Holy Ghost and just come to know Jesus in a profound and passionate way. And then for everybody else, let me just tell you, hey, I love you, and I want to pray for you. I want to bless you as we go today. And hey, by the way, if you're watching online, click the share button. People need to see how ridiculous a pastor can look when he's dressed up like George Washington on Easter Sunday. Go ahead and embarrass me. It's fine. It's fine. I knew what was going to happen. So let me pray for you and bless you as we go. Father, would you bless my friends with an incredible week, following after you all week long in Jesus' name, and all of us said together, amen. God bless you as you go and have an amazing Easter weekend.
Thank you so much for listening in today. Our prayer is that you are encouraged and strengthened by the message.
If you haven't done so yet, be sure to subscribe to this podcast and leave us a review wherever you're listening. If you want to be a part of our online community, connect with us through Facebook or Instagram with the handle @HighRidgeLV, or you can check out our website at highridgelv.com. Lastly, if this ministry has impacted your life and you'd like to support its work, visit highridgelv.com/give. We appreciate your support, and we're believing with you today for God's best in your life. Have an incredible week, and we will see you next time.